hey guys, the show's about to start, but I just really quickly wanted to say, stop wasting time going to the post office, and why don't you go to stamps.com instead? There's no risk, and with our promo code BANTER, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. You just go to stamps.com, you click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and you type in BANTER. That's stamps.com, promo code BANTER. Stamps.com. You never go to the post office again. And now time for
Thank
the show.
Thank you, Steve.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic banter. Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun. Dynamic banter. Honking horns and ringing bells and making good. Dynamic banter. Don't forget the history road. Dynamic banter.
Hey guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter. How you all doing? Mike, how the fuck are you?
Look at me. I'm great. I'm great. I'm having a good day. I've been enjoying the weather getting warm, as I think we all are.
Yeah.
I know you yourself are a summer boy. I know we've talked about that on the podcast.
I love the summer.
It seems like the warmer weather makes everyone a little happier.
And
looking forward to that.
Moods are up and clothing is down. Clothing on, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, hell yeah. We got two thumbs down for clothing. Clothing's the worst.
Hey, how about a 3 out of 5 articles of clothing on that hard body?
His scale for rating clothing is clothing.
Why don't you take off that 2 clothing. Articles of clothing? Madam,
that piece of clothing gets 4 out of 5 clothing for me. I like your coat.
I like Holy your coat, shit. But that particular article of clothing would be best hung up in a closet.
And people, like, take what he says to heart.
Yeah, that could be seen, like, as it's not a good jacket. Put it back in the closet. Yeah. But what
he's a tastemaker.
But this man in particular is just being perverse and would like to see more of that person's body. Guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Really quickly, I just want to get this out of the way. Okay, now that that's out of the way, I want to move on to...
And now to this. Yeah, that's a good bit.
Thank you. Dude, we were just on Let's Get Haunted podcast. Quick shout out to the One girls, time. Allie and Natalia.
One time. Thanks for having us on.
Alyssa.
One time. Dude, maybe we could have them on to talk about the Winchester Manchestering house.
Dude, we got to have them on and talk about, like, all of the stuff. Like, we'll talk about the Winchester house. Dude, what if we did, once we're back, dude, now my gears are going, Mike.
Dude, setting it up like you're going to say a list, but just saying one thing is one of my favorite
right. things. Okay, check this out. What if when shit's back to normal, B2N, hashtag B2N, once everything's favorite hashtag B2N,
it's already trending in my heart.
What if we did? Because remember, like, because I'm glad you brought up the Winchester house. Mm-hmm. Because if, for those of you that have listened to every episode of this absurd thing, or those of you that remember, maybe you haven't heard every episode, but you remember back in the early days, we were planning, like, a Winchester mystery house, like, meetup.
Yes.
You know, that was before we got too big to, like, go out in public, you know?
If it wasn't just so dangerous.
Yeah. Now we can't. Yeah.
We're causing traffic jams. And
right.
I'm and just trying to get a bagel.
Yeah. Like, we're not, we're causing a lot of trouble when we go out in public. So,
you know, picture the opening scene of Hard Day's Night and now I'm triple it.
but we talked about doing it and then we didn't do it. And then someone made a video about how they went anyway.
They were waiting for
us to
I've
get
seen
there.
That guy in at shows before, I think in San Diego. And he's very funny. And he has a sweet wife, I think.
Aw, that's nice.
I'm remembering correctly. Very sweet people.
And it's a good bit. Like, that was a good bit. That was very funny. Yeah. Very good.
Down by us and turning it into art.
So now that you're caught up on our chronicle of the Winchester Mystery House meetup that never happened, now that we've done our guest spot on Let's Get Haunted.
Isn't it? It's a tall glass. It's a tall glass. It must be this tall to drink the drink.
How come when kids drink things, they do that? They take like weight.
Breathe into it.
Like, but also it's like, it sounds like they're chugging it, but in reality, they're just like taking the tiniest little sips.
Yeah, making it last.
Yeah, they wait. They hold it up to their face for so long and they're staring at you while they do it. Why do they do
that? Exactly what it is.
Why do they do that? And then they go, like, they never held their breath.
That's their space, dude. That's their space.
That is their
space.
That's
their room.
That's their time.
That's like if just their face was in their room.
Right, right. That's like when Dad went to the toilet. You're like, where the hell did Dad go? He was gone for so long. Dad went to the toilet so he could get the fuck away from you for a second, first of all. And second of all, you want to read the goddamn paper.
Maybe let Dad hang out for a second. Let Dad shit, please. Don't bother him. He's sleeping.
But my dad used to do this thing kind of like what the kids do, where I would open the door and he'd be in there taking a shit, reading on the newspaper, and he'd be staring at me like the kid drinking the water.
Like in The Shining?
Yeah. Anyway, on Let's Get Haunted... And you're totally right about connecting the Winchester Mystery House with them. Let's go one step further and let's have them take us there to the Winchester Mystery House. We'll do a cross.
You're gonna be like, let's take it one step further and make them go there.
Make them go there and have a meetup.
Holy shit. You guys would love this place. You should let us know how it is.
I just want to do a crossover episode with them where we go to like a location and then we talk about, they tell us about it or something. And then we, you know, we do all the bits and have fun. And then maybe there's a little meetup for everybody. Oh shit. I hit the microphone. Maybe there's a little meetup for everybody.
And we tell people when we feel cold and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But anyway, I thought that was really fun. And Mike and I had a really good time on the show. So you should check that out. Let's Get Haunted podcast. Shout out to the girls who are great. And it was a real scary, strange episode. And they basically talk about haunted and paranormal things. And it's very well researched. And it's fun.
It is. I like being told a story.
Me too. It's nice, right? Like
sometimes I feel that way in LA, am I right?
You know, there's movies and then there's being told a story.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Please welcome.
So we stand a storyteller.
I want to share something with you as we get started on the show here. We're 10 minutes in.
Thank you. Thank you for the check. A lot of people like to sync it up with the video.
Just to make sure.
Sync the audio up with the video.
Which might actually not sync up for you guys because we did like a pre-roll ad and we talked a little bit and some of that might be cut out. So, so sorry if it doesn't quite match up. Dude, I want to talk to you a little bit about a tweet that went out this morning that has people... talking.
You are currently a Twitter celebrity right now.
Well, I mean, I'm getting up there, dude. I was added to Moments.
Congratulations.
I don't know what the fuck that even
but
means.
But not just by anybody.
By Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone creates the Moments.
That's right.
You wouldn't know about certain Moments if
dude, when you talk to your coworkers or friends about the leading source of high priority news in the pop culture space, you don't even get to finish the sentence before someone says Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone. I finished that sentence. I finished your sentence there.
So
the leading yeah. manufacturer leading. Of Moments.
Yes, the creator of trends, some would say. Yeah. The trend master, Rolling Stone, has added me to Moments because they tweeted something really ridiculous today. And a lot of people have been putting on their face. Dude, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I feel like people are getting funnier. Are people getting funnier?
Maybe they're getting more attention because people are so horny to share funny things. So they're getting around more.
The reason
I mean, we also know a lot of funny people.
Yeah.
And our timelines are who we've chosen to follow. For the most part,
right,
know?
Right, right.
So yeah, I think
our friend groups
being very funny.
Right, right. Our friend groups are like our Twitter timelines, essentially, like in yes. real life. Mm-hmm. I found it interesting that, like, you know, I know that you're not the biggest TikTok fan.
I love TikTok. I love TikTok.
Oh, that's right. You've recently reinvigorated yourself with TikTok. Yeah. Because we realized that TikTok really operates on a sensitive algorithm that based on your viewing habits and your likes and your interaction with the app, you are aggregated and the type of content that you didn't really realize you knew you wanted, it knew you wanted it before you saw it. And it gets to the point where you can imagine what my TikTok timeline must look like. It's the strangest place for a lot of people. It would make them uncomfortable, probably.
Probably screaming puppets.
Right. And very strange, like almost like uncomfortable. Like you're thinking, you don't feel good the rest of the day after seeing it.
A little about me.
Kind of stuff. But not in a bad way, but in a like a uncomfortable cringe kind of way, because I'm really into cringe stuff right now. I'm really into cringe. Shout out to cringe. But
I went to school. I studied cringe. I had like 3 cringe bands by the time I was 2-7.
In the cringe arts, I'm like a master of the cringe. A master.
We're actually
of the
thinking about doing a cringe album.
So anyway, I've been seeing TikToks that are like will keep me up at night, making me laugh. Like I will laugh all night about it, and then the comments will be like really fucking funny. And then I go to Reddit and I browse my Reddit subreddits, and the top comments there are really fucking funny. And then I go to Twitter, and there's something like this that Rolling Stone tweets out, and almost all of the quote tweets are really fucking funny. So it feels like either funny people are getting more love, or there are way more funny people out there than we realize.
There's also a generation of like, we're at the beginning of internet video, like commonly used internet videos,
correct,
and widely shared internet videos,
right?
And now there's like another generation of people who were like our age when we started getting funny, which it varies for so many people,
right?
You know, I got funny later on,
right?
And
right.
Now there are people who have been watching so many like specifically funny things for a long time that they gain of I think specific sense of humor at a younger age.
Right.
And they know that they can use that to make stuff and make other people laugh. So I think there's a generation who's better and funnier than we were at their age, probably.
Right. And they have like the platform now to like really get their shit out there. And and it's cool to see that like something that's genuinely funny is is so widely accepted as something that's genuinely funny. It's really heartening and heart uplifting to see.
I love that literally anyone's stuff can be scooped up by the right whatever and passed around to so many people. Because I think that as long as you have balance and you don't chase that feeling in an unhealthy way, I think it is a special feeling, the feeling that had changed both of our lives, if we're being honest.
Right.
And I think things like TikTok give more people the enough optimism to try to use the creative part of their brains. Yeah,
and the courage. The courage.
And the courage and the chance to have that feeling.
Right.
You know, regardless of what you choose to do with it afterwards. But it's nice.
Right. And I like that, like, essentially a really good, funny TikTok that goes viral.
Uh-huh.
If you want to vomit after hearing that sentence, I understand. But if there's a really fucking funny TikTok that's like super popular, everybody loves it, and it inspires someone to be like, oh my God, that's so funny, I could make that. And then they try to make it, and then they end up making something even funnier. It's like, oh, dude, that's the chef's kiss of synchronicity. Yeah.
It is a cool, nice collaborative. It's
and then it goes on and on and on and evolves. And yeah.
Dude, I can't wait for the comment on this fucking video that's like, old discovered TikTok. I fucking hate it.
We can call this episode Old's Discovered TikTok.
Yeah, well, you know what? Eat a dick, because I got to this age. I earned this age.
Yeah, that's okay. Honest. Yeah.
But I do like what you were saying, that it's a huge, like, it encourages collaborative stuff. Like, remember when YouTube had that fucking... You could do video replies to people.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like everyone's shit is like separate and separated from each other and blah, blah, blah.
Well, and some people found ways to abuse that, so it had to go away.
Oh, for sure. That's with anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
But I like what it is. And specifically, I've had like two of them do really well. I've only started using it recently.
Yeah.
And I looked at the comments last night. Uh-huh. And it's all these things like, where do I know you from? Or holy fucking shit, I used to watch you when I was 12 and I thought you were crazy. Dead.
Isn't that crazy, dude?
And it warms my heart for what it is, because one, like I was saying before, we've earned the privilege to live as long as we have and to have the life that we've had. And that's awesome to think that you were like any part of somebody's happy childhood.
Totally, dude.
Good.
That's what I live for.
And it also shows how fucking small the world is. And I like that, like, you know, I on YouTube specifically chose to do a million different things. So the algorithm really doesn't know where to put you after a while. So it's kind of just like, you know, whatever.
Right.
People have to really look for you if you change course a lot of the time, I think.
Right.
But to think that another app is like kind of moving everything away and showing you stuff again.
Right.
It's nice to just be a creative person and to still get to, I don't know. Whatever.
Dude, I hear you. And I also want to comment on the whole, like, it's so interesting when you get the comment as like someone who has worked in this industry for so long and done so many things here and there, and you've just been a kind of a nomad in the entertainment space, but you never stopped working and you never stopped like hustling. And It's so interesting when you do something on a different platform than like Twitter or Instagram, and then someone's like, holy shit, I used to watch you like 10 years ago. I thought you were dead. It makes it's so strange, because it's
I was sure.
Right. I never stopped working. I never stopped working. Like, well, how did you, like, it just means that it doesn't matter what you make. It might not make it to everybody. It might not make it to the right eyes, you know, it might not make it to the right audience. So there, you know, and the algorithm is so dependent on how you're seen, and YouTube changed their algorithm in a really like kind of corporate-y, gross money-making way, and less about kind of like giving the creators the kind of like opportunity to get sucked up by the algorithm and then get shown to the right people so that you can grow naturally. And it's so interesting that you really think that like you're making the right kind of content, but it's like still going under the radar of even the people that should be served that content based on the algorithm.
That was always the thing that bummed me out the most, is if like, it's so hard to get anyone to do anything.
Right. You know? Right.
And then you make stuff and like you earn somebody's like click of the subscribe button. And even then it's like, it used to be so easy to see what you chose to subscribe to. And yeah, it seems like that got swept under the rug. And right, then people think that you fucking die.
Right. And those know?
And
people...
if it weren't for a different type of platform to deliver stuff differently.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Just think that we're bad. It's just interesting how algorithm dependent our work is. You know, like
our algorithm. That's our joint biography. It's called our
go rhythm. But it is so interesting how that this like algorithm, this like mythic thing, this unseen thing, is such a deciding factor on whether your piece of art is seen by an amount of people or not.
But that's why it's so much more important to identify yourself as a creative person. If that's the kind of life you want.
Yeah.
Recognize the fact that you're not like a YouTuber or a TikToker or bleep blap or floobie-doo.
Or a flipper.
I've said in a long time. You're like, you're a creative person. You know what I mean? And yeah, like, that's your shit. So you're not attached to any one thing. Make whatever you feel like making. Just be creative.
Right.
And you know, if it's meant to entertain people, maybe it'll find the people it's supposed to entertain.
Agreed. And I think TikTok...
Horny for art.
And of all the platforms, it seems like TikTok really has, like, a good fucking algorithm. Like, kind of... And it feels like the old YouTube algorithm, where you'd watch something and you'd get something that, like, you wanted to see, not something they wanted you to see. And, right. It's so interesting, especially coming off of the whole, like, it's a spy app that's looking at your penis. You know, and it's like, it's looking
it's
at your dick.
It's always looking at your dick.
Only the people who are self-conscious about their dicks are worried about apps looking at their dicks.
Dude, my friend Latif had a really fucking Latif Tayori. He's a very funny comedian. He had a tweet yesterday that was like, here's the four stages of apps. It's like, it comes out and you make fun of it. Right. And then, you get on it and whatever, and you regret not getting on it sooner. And it's like, it's the same, whatever.
Right. And it is funny because TikTok's totally that. And people were totally like, it's stealing all of our data or whatever. And it's like, dude, all these fucking apps have like a fucking 90-page terms of service that if you read it, you'd see that most of them are data mining in a like a quote unquote harmless way. And
dude, I technically owe half of my sperm to Instagram.
Dude, there was a South Park episode that was about not reading the terms of service. Yeah, and remember that? They got super fucked over and it was like human centipede and shit. But it's so funny because, like, you know, I mean, if you really care about things, data mining from your personal searches and shit, then you should read the terms of service and maybe have like half of the apps you currently have on your phone. But it's so funny how TikTok ended up being the place that like creators could be seen in a way that was more positive, leaning towards an audience that is an audience that's interested in the type of shit that you make. And it's showing.
I wonder what that difference is.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what the whatever the mathematical ones and zeros difference
is. Right. Well, it's all
feel like that.
It's all like you know, it's really precious the way these algorithms like operate, and the you know, Google has their like fucking $1 billion they probably pump into research, into algorithms and data mining, because it's such a precious, dude, data mining is like mining the earth for resources. It's like you're literally mining humans. Yes, it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, totally, totally. And it, but like they are mining human brains for what you want, and then they're marketing that to you. And that is like a precious thing in all of these like new digital age companies. And I think, I'm sure TikTok has a fucking lockdown on their algorithm, the type of thing that couldn't be shared with other companies. And in fact, other companies dream of having an algorithm that good. So, but it's interesting. Like, it does feel like YouTube's algorithm more or less works for specific types of people, but TikTok really opens up the door to anybody being able to connect with a huge audience. The only problem is there's zero monetization. Like, there's zero ways to make money on TikTok right now.
Well, they have ads on it, but they probably get that money.
But for the users, yeah, like, right. Well, uh-huh. Yeah. But right, you can have a brand deal and utilize your shit, and then make a TikTok and get some money for that. But the TikTok app itself doesn't have a way to pay you for your following yet, and I think that's like the one thing missing from being like kind of like a major hitter in the social media space, if it isn't already.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be cool if that never happens.
Yeah, because that's what ruins shit, and that's why YouTube is the way it is.
And then, like, the skill is trying to figure out how to make your money using that, knowing that you have that, but putting it, directing it elsewhere. And then being, I've said that from the beginning, too. Like, it's, I see so many funny people, and I follow funny people, and then it's like at some point you want to hear from that person for a while. So you have to have something else that is longer, that, you know, that's where like people really either decide whether or not they like your personality.
Right.
Like become a fan.
Exactly. So
maybe you don't monetize TikTok, and maybe you put it back on the user to be like, now you have to make a longer thing and make that worth it.
It's interesting though, because like with Vine, they didn't do that. And then they like got to a point where their like top Vine creators were like, if you don't figure out a way to give us money, we're leaving. And then that's essentially what killed Vine, was the fact that they didn't implement a service like that. But that was like what, like 7 years ago or something, or 6 years ago? I can't remember. And things are different now. And I think there are ways to find like some kind of middle ground maybe. But now that it's easier than ever for social brands and like studios and companies to reach out to top influencer type people and strike deals that are connected to TikTok in some way, but not through the app, then maybe that's the way it kind of survives. But at a certain point, you feel like you're creating content for an app that is essentially not giving you anything for that.
So let me get this straight. Your tweet got picked up by Rolling Stone?
Yeah. Well, it got added to a moment, which I don't know what that even means.
What was the tweet?
I think Mike wants to change the subject. I think I'm catching on.
I just realized I didn't know what the tweet was about.
Oh, right. Listen, I had a really good segue back, Mike. You didn't have to just jump. You didn't have to get the scissors and cut the fucking umbilical cord.
I didn't choose to think about that when I thought about it. But once it was what I was thinking about, I'm like, there's no room for anything else.
Right. All right. So, it's interesting. All that shit's interesting. We could talk for a long time about it, but let's talk about this fucking Rolling Stone tweet today. That was my segue. Thank you very much.
It doesn't mean it wasn't interesting. I swear to God. I just realized I didn't know what the tweet was. And I was like, oh, are we doing that thing where we start
and we'll never come back?
Yeah.
All right. So this morning, Rolling Stone tweeted this. Post Malone has released a cover of Hootie and the Blowfish's 1995 hit song, Only Wanna Be With You. It's not over. For Pokemon's 25th anniversary.
Dude, that sounds like something we made up.
Exactly! It really does. No. My tweet was, this tweet belongs in the Smithsonian.
Very good.
But so many people had some really funny stuff.
Yeah, because most of the joke is already written, I think.
The joke is written, man.
Yeah.
The joke is written.
The hard part is done.
Yeah.
You figure out how you want to make it even better.
Exactly. At this point, yeah. You're just like, you're doing the VH1 show, Remember the 80s, where they go, all right, Rubik's Cubes, go.
Dude, which was my dream to get on that show.
Dude, you would have been on that fucking show.
That was my dream to get on that show.
I don't get why it went away. It was such a cool... They could have done it for fucking ever, dude.
It's so easy to just look at whoever's talking and be like, well, I don't give a fuck about what that person has to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they would see me and be like, eh. I don't care.
All right, let me see. Let me read you some of these responses to this tweet. Well, like, what do you, first of all, how do you feel about that? Like,
I don't know. Well, I'm not, as soon as I hear Pokemon stuff, I'm out. Cause that I had zero Pokemon anything
same.
In my life.
That's a good thing. It's at the end of the sentence though.
Yes. But I still recognize how funny it is, but it doesn't give me any kind of like, wow, that's so cool that that's happening.
Right.
I hear that sentence and I'm like, every word in that sentence is for somebody else.
yeah, totally.
And dude, that's okay.
I think, but it's also like, but there's also some things, because I don't know much about Pokemon really either. I played the new one that came out on the Switch. Will is a huge Pokemon nerd. And he showed me, like, because it was a remake of an old one. So he kind of showed me the ropes.
Yeah.
And so I got that kind of taste of it, of Pokemon. But everything else about that tweet is because you don't have to know much about Pokemon to think that that's ridiculous.
Yes. But also, to be totally fair, I think our generation has, whether they like to admit it or not, a very fond memory of that song.
Sure.
That Hootie and the Blowfish song. And I think that evokes nice, good feelings of childhood fun.
Right.
And I think also Pocket Mans does that.
Right.
And if it's a game about collecting friends and fighting other friends with your friends... And you got Post Malone's auto-tuned, stoned-ass voice. Be like, I think it'll be a nice, I think that's a knockout collabo.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Some people
and
are saying.
As positive as I can make that.
Someone on Twitter said, how are all of these individual things part of the same sentence? Which I think is very funny.
Oh my God.
You can't convince me that this tweet isn't a Mad Lib. Yeah. Everyone knows that your 25th anniversary is the Hootie and the Blowfish cover by Post Malone anniversary. So I'm not sure why everyone's getting all worked up here.
That's great. And I'm sure there were so many people who shit on it, but it's not like, that seems like only a fun thing, not like a
why the fuck is this happening?
Yeah, yeah, but it's just crazy. It's just a crazy tweet. It is crazy,
yeah.
It's
but crazy
like,
things are fun.
Like, yeah, 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 yeah. Because it's one of those things where it's like, especially when you see him, like seeing him adds to it too, you know? Like him being on the image and then above yeah. it says Post Malone has released a cover of the Hootie the Blowfish song.
Get ready for all your kids to have face tats.
Dude, oh for sure. We're gonna have so many old people with face tats in like 60 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. But I think it's funny, like imagine showing, like framing that article. It's got the picture of Post Malone with all the tattoos and he's like good, holding whatever. Thank you. Always that's tired. My pressure. Always tired. And then it says that under it. And you took that to 1995, height of Only Wanna Be With You. By Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's great. Very nicely done, Steve. Thanks, very beautiful connection.
Could you even imagine?
That's great. What a beautiful image.
Yeah. I just want to see how people would react to that. All right, let's do the ads really quick, and then we'll jump back into the show here. How about some upbeat drums for you, Mike? You like those?
Oh, I would love to hear it, because I already got Hootie in my head.
Me too,
so I'd love to hear some fun, upbeat drums.
I got to say, man, Hootie and the Blowfish, pretty fucking good.
Yeah, that was one of my first CDs that I ever got.
Yeah, I get it. How does that sound to you, Mike? Is that a little loud?
It's not uncomfortably loud. It's very atmospheric. I feel like I'm in one of those, that Disney Jungle ride.
Wonderful.
Not to mention another brand's during the ads. That's my mistake.
Hey guys, why don't we talk a little bit about Solo Stove?
Oh, great.
Dude, Solo Stove is rad because one of my favorite parts of the camping trip experience was sitting around the fire. It's just this kind of like deep down inherent human obsession, nay, beautification of watching fire just burn. And
it's like
the
first time humans ever hung out.
Right.
What did they do?
Right. It's the first water cooler. Why is my little lizard named Cecil also if my sleep paralysis demon is named Cecil?
Everything. It's a duality thing.
Actually, this guy's name is Cakey.
Cakey, that's nice.
Guys, Solo Stove is cool because it's a fire that you can have in a controlled little oven or stove, rather, that you can take anywhere. It's portable. And you got a big backyard. Ooh, boy, bring the Solo Stove out. It's so easy to use. You just throw in some wood in the thing and there's like hardly any smoke. In fact, I don't think there's any smoke.
It's not like it's like there's a ventilation system.
Yeah.
And there's also, it's not like you're gathering stones and making a fire pit, big cleanup afterwards.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that smell of campfire all over your clothes and your hair. You don't have to scrub it out of your hair. Because, you know, they're like, when did you see a fire? Why you smell like fire, sir?
When'd you hang out with fire, brud?
And that's why Fast Company calls Solo Stove a must-have for any fireside occasion. Okay? I gave my Solo Stove to my parents because they got a nice backyard, avocado trees back there. The kids, my nephews, they go by, run around, have fun and play. You know, not too close to the fire, kids. But, you know, everybody knows that.
Yeah,
But, man,
you lay down the rules first.
It's the perfect little tool. You bring out the marshmallows and the s'mores stuff. You're having a good little cookout. You can even cook your hot dogs over the dang thing. You can cook whatever you want over the solo stuff. I think, is that guy okay? And guys, excited. Guess what? There's so little smoke, you'll wonder how there's so much fire, quite honestly. And there's a wide range of portable products. Solo Stove is fit for any size occasion. There's the Solo Stove Lite, all the way to the mighty Yukon. Even grills, pots, and other accessories. Every rooftop rendezvous, log cabin lazing, road trip retreat, and backyard bumming calls for the Solo Stove. And it's easy to light with just a few bits of starter, and your fire's blazing in minutes. And Solo Stove is so confident in their products, they're going to give you a lifetime warranty for every purchase. That's a lifetime guarantee. So why don't you go smokeless with Solo Stove and get 25% off your order all February at solostove.com. Plus, an additional $10 off when you use the promo code BANTER at checkout. That's solostove.com. For 25% off your order, plus an additional $10 off when you use the promo code BANTER. Thank you, Solo Stove. Guys, me undies! Ding, 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 ding! Guys, I'll tell you what. I love MeUndies. Mike loves MeUndies. Everybody loves MeUndies. Anybody and everybody who has ever graced their nethers with MeUndies has unequivocally agreed that MeUndies is the king, nay the queen, nay the top of the pops in the underwear world, my friends. And it's time we stop messing around about funny things and talked about something serious and important, which is underwear.
Right, Steve. You know, the importance of underwear is really overlooked.
Yes,
at all
agreed.
Times
agreed.
Because you wear it under your clothes. Maybe you don't see it all the time, but you never forget in your heart how important it is to have that layer between you in your pants, and that's what underwear does for you. What should that stuff be made of? I don't know, micromodal fabric that's going to actively get rid of odors. Why get rid of odors? Because it's around your BHO, that's why. Steve?
Damn right. And I'll tell you what, guys, MeUndies isn't just here to make sure everybody's comfortable, but they're also limiting the amount of laundry you have. How thoughtful. They designed a membership that not only saves you 30% on each order, but delivers a fun new pair of undies or socks right to your door each month. Plus, you're the boss. You control the shipments.
Doing that thing that a kid does when he drinks.
And you also get early access to their most exclusive prints. I got some really cute heart emoji, heart eye undies. I'm looking at them right now. And I got a pair for Alana and myself, so we get matching undies. That's and nice. They're cute as can be. I do love all their wacky prints. I've got a onesie with, like, pizza slices all over it. I mean, come on, you guys. And cool. They offer a range of styles and sizes, including extra small to 4XL. And now that everyone is WFH, they also offer the softest loungewear. Fill your closet with things you actually want to put in there, dang it. So MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners, guys. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy.
It's a lot of tongue stuff.
It's a tongue twister. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. So to get 15% off your order, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/banter. That's MeUndies.com/banter. Thank you, MeUndies. Guys, last but certainly not least, by any means, especially in when we're talking about mouth care, dental care, let's talk about Quip.
You know we like talking about mouth care.
Oh, dude.
And dental care.
We're all up in the mouth care world, keeping up on the latest studies and hanging out with dentists.
Heads.
We're mouth heads. Oh, my God. Guys, here's the deal. You know what I mean?
That's coming directly from Steve.
Here's the deal, dude. Sometimes, actually not even sometimes, anytime I leave the house, I've got some sort of gum or mint somewhere. Maybe in my pocket, yes. Maybe in my jacket, maybe in my so backpack. Important. It's important to have a fresh mouth, good mouth.
With your mask on, you want to treat yourself to French bread.
Damn
dude.
Right.
You don't want to be burping up the beef jerky that you just had on the way out of the apartment and burp that into your mask. That's a nori.
100%.
You want to have fresh gum on you at all times. Make your mouth cold and minty and nice.
100%, dude. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've started a conversation with someone or broken the ice by sharing a stick of gum or something, by pulling out the gum, and suddenly people come to you. Gum is like bringing a cute puppy out. You bring the puppy out, everybody wants to see the puppy. You bring out the gum, everyone wants a piece of gum.
Everyone wants to pet the gum.
I'll tell you, gum is something people choose a way to relieve stress, curb appetites, and most importantly, freshen your breath. But many people don't realize that gum can also be an integral part of a healthy oral care routine. Listen, we've all chewed gum, but not all gum is created equal. Some might come in fancy packaging, but they only cover up bad breath. Others are loaded with sugar that can wreak havoc on your teeth. Luckily, the oral care experts at Quip have made a gum that stands out from the pack.
I like that.
One that can help prevent cavities. Check. Oh, and it tastes great too.
Dude, it tastes like because they sent us some.
Yeah.
And it tastes like those chalky mints that you get on the way out of the
that's right.
The Chinese
that you love
place.
So much. The ones you crunch right down on. You don't suck those boys. You crunch them.
The one you take like this.
Yeah. Oh, thank you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. My elbows has powder all over it. That's how many I've taken.
Guys, it was only a few short years ago that Quip reinvented the toothbrush for the modern age. You guys know that. They've done it again, this time with gum. Well, they've launched a new gum that's actually good for your oral health and comes with a dispenser that'll remind you of the one-click candy you loved as a kid. Quip gum can prevent cavities and freshen breath when chewed for 20 minutes after eating. It's sugar-free and has tooth-friendly xylitol with zero calories. And to satisfy your taste buds, Quip added a long-lasting mint flavor, crunchy tri-layer design, and stamped it all with the classic Quip tongue. The slim, travel-ready dispenser, available in 5 colors in metal or plastic, packs and protects up to 10 gum pieces at a time and fits in just about any purse or pocket for on the go. And in a world where we all need to be extra safe and hygienic, the quick release button means you can still share with friends. No wrappers, no hands, no hassle, guys. So how about we spread some good oral habits this season and join the over 5 million mouths ready to start using, that already use Quip. Once you get chewing for less than $2 per gum, a pack, $2 per gum pack. So why don't you go to getquip.com/banter right now? You can get a free plastic dispenser with any refill plan. That's a free dispenser at getquip.com/banter, spelled GETQUIP.com/banter. Quip! The good habits company.
Thank you, Quip. They've been with us for so long and tolerating us for so long. It's very nice that
Hell
they're
yeah.
still on the show. That's a long-standing sponsor. So if you're at all interested in that, hit them up. because they've been taking care of us for a long time. And they're trying to take care of your bats.
Oh, 100%, dude.
You know when you're walking into the ocean and you've got too much...
I've heard of it.
Or maybe you're at a friend's pool party and you dive into the deep end all of a sudden, maybe unexpectedly you got to your...
got a little chlorine.
Dude, Quip gum would be perfect to chew after you've gotten a little bit of chlorine.
Do you think there's anybody on the planet named Chlorine?
Probably.
This is Chlorine. Chlorine, yeah. Yates.
What were we saying yesterday? You were making up some...
Oh, yeah!
some, like, just wacky names yesterday.
Timothy,
and there was another one. And then the last... What is that?
Ticini.
Ticini and Timothy Smith.
Smith. All right. You guys from Hollywood?
That's you guys.
Mike, if there's anything, unless there's anything you want to jump into, there's something you want to talk about, I'd love to just jump right into the History Roads.
You could do that. I wrote down some stuff, but I'm trying to see if anything is worth it. I wrote down why I like TikTok.
Oh, I love that.
I think I did that while we were talking about TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was going to do this whole bit about the how the first drive-through window is always closed.
Yeah. Disgusting. Remember when you could use the first drive-through window?
Yeah. It's a rare condition this day and age.
Yeah. Do you think it has something to do with like workforce? Like they don't want to pay someone to be there because they could just pay someone to do that and give people the food. They combine the job.
But it seems like it would have its benefit if it was like crazy busy, you know, to like lessen the load for people and to sell more things. I don't know about overhead costs.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, it's always broken and disgusting and people hide gum behind there.
Oh, yeah.
Who let the first window get so gross? It's the first window.
Yeah. So why don't you have a little respect for the first window? It's important. That's an important.
Not my first window.
This is my first window.
First window is my favorite Star Wars character.
That's good. All right.
Oh, and then I said, how funny would it be if we were in something at this point?
If we were in something, like a movie?
Like, imagine being a fan of this show, and then me or you just shows up in, like, CSI or something.
Dude, I think we can make that happen.
I think it would be very funny.
Yeah. Yes. I think you and I are ripe for making some kind of, like, you know how, like, before the Beastie Boys, or not the Beastie Boys, who were they? The Jerky Boys. Like the Jerky Boys were like I swear there's a movie where they're like hot dog vendors where they're like, hey, here's your hot dog, and then they go away and that's the whole scene, you know, like, and so that's the Jerky Boys, right? Just one
I'd
scene.
I'd love to be in one scene of a Kristen Wiig movie.
Yes,
I want to say one thing in a Kristen Wiig movie.
Yeah, we're like, you and I are checkout at the grocery store. I'm the bagging guy and you're the scanner guy.
Yeah, you're the bag guy. It's a dynamic banter Easter.
Yeah, egg. Bag man. Yeah. Bag guy, that's right. Holy shit. Dude, I think we can manifest that.
We already have a podcast.
Yes.
And we've gotten ourselves somewhat of an audience that seems to enjoy what we do.
Yes.
I think we shoot for bigger and better, and we shoot to be in something together, and we have to turn down all acting roles that are a part out of fairness.
Yeah. Let's do a post on the Dynamic Banter Twitter account that is just our headshots. It's just my headshot and your headshot next to each other. And it says, Mike and Steve now accepting being casted together in cameos in your movie or TV show. if you want to elevate your scene with a "Hey, there's that guy" moment, we're here.
If you need some like Marvel Universe type ARG type podcast turnover, because why have all the interest from like people like Quip and people who love advertising on podcasts?
Right,
that has to have some value.
Here, let me tell you something, Mike. Let me give you a little morsel of hope. I'm gonna plant a seed in your soil of future hopes.
Please, okay? My soil is wet.
All right, let me put a seed in there. Now, I don't know the specifics, but I do know that we've seen people from Community in MCU movies, which means that the people who made Community were fans, or the people who made the MCU movie were fans of Community, which makes me feel like one day some motherfucker listening to this podcast is going to be the director of something, and they're going to be like, "I want Mike and Steve in this scene because I love dynamic banter, and now I'm a director and I have the opportunity to do that."
And that's why we keep making TikToks.
Yes. And that's why we'll never stop the show until someone hires us to be in the scene of an MCU movie. Once we get that, we'll retire. That'll be the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And can we do a tweet thread? And then one just says, directed at whoever's directing the next Cloverfield.
The next Cloverfield, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Dude, at the very least, I mean, even if we're just running in the background of a scene in the new Cloverfield movie.
Running in the background, blurry.
Yes. Or
bagging
even easier.
Groceries while everyone else is running away.
Even easier. You don't even have to have us on set. You don't have to worry about trailers or lumping us in with the cattle call people. Give us a radio moment where you hear us in the on the radio.
Yeah, dude.
For just a fucking 3 seconds.
Yeah. Superimpose a Mike in the Morning logo on a billboard in the city. Billboard.
Yeah. Or slap a sticker
that no one would pay for. Don't lose any revenue, please.
Right.
On our behalf.
Right, right.
But throw someone in a dynamic banter t-shirt in a terrible situation.
Yeah. You can even have someone who dies in a really violent way wearing a dynamic banter shirt.
Like listening to our podcast, but it just says it on the screen.
Yeah, their
phone.
Podcast, the phone is sticking out of their pocket and you can see the dynamic, half of the dynamic banter logo. Yeah. All right.
Yes. Or whatever monster honks a giant horn and says, "That's a 1-2. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah." Yes, please.
We'll also accept that.
We will accept it. All right. How about some mystery road? It's a long way down. Mystery road.
How much money?
Always coming in with the questions.
We don't even have that guest anymore.
He's waiting.
You're so late.
So patiently.
Okay.
Now the time.
Jacob Mock.
Yeah.
Sends an email. Ing. He says, "A quick, funny question from a bed shitter." I love that this comes after "Put us in your movie." Anyway, here's a story about somebody who shit their bed.
Okay, let's do a background check on these guys. Here's a funny story from a bed shitter. Okay.
This episode's called "Olds Talking About TikTok." Hey, hello, BB horny honk. Tonky bonk boys.
In your movie.
I'm Jake, the guy who shit the bed at Disney. Oh, yeah. Remember he said he shit his bed in the hotel?
I don't, but I'm with it.
And was told by Mike that I used too many bits in my last History Rose. I'm sorry, Mike.
this is great. This is my favorite. I love it.
I will try to keep my love for your show to at least 25% less in this one. Yeah. Try to contain
your... And that's
your,
a get
from me. Yeah. Contain your ropes. I was recently listening to my favorite funky musical group while driving home from work, and it reminded me of a distant memory. I can't be bothered to do the research, but I remember Steve saying the phrase, "Do y'all like Wolfpack?" or something similar in a Valley Folk video. Wolf is definitely both my wife and my favorite band. So much so, we were front and slightly off-center at the Madison Square Garden show back before the redacted for demonetization virus hit. My question to you, I think we've got way less bits in this, and that's nice.
Way less and strategically placed.
Right.
Once. So respect.
My question to you, Steve, is, are you a fan? If so, do you have a favorite song? No. I've never heard a Wolfpack song ever. Wolfpack.
Weren't they
ever.
Didn't they have a song in the original Cloverfield?
I mean,
wasn't that one of the songs?
So
this might be just a stupid random smush of memories, but I think that there was some song by that band in the trailer or something, to the point where people were going back and trying to make a connection between like the title of the song and what the movie
was
like.
I remember those days where everything was a clue, or everything could be a clue.
There's no
connective tissue in Google with Wolfpack and Cloverfield, but maybe
never mind that.
Maybe it's some similar band or some similar named band.
I don't know. A band with wolf in the name? Good luck.
Yeah. It's a wolf. It's huge. The next question is, Mike, are you a fan? And have you opened ears to them?
Oh, if I have, then I didn't know them by name.
Yeah, so that might be the same for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Here, I'll tell you this, Jacob. As soon as I'm done with this podcast, I will pull them up on Spotify and I'll listen to their hit song and I'll give it a shot.
Wolfpack?
Yeah, Wulfpeck. Don't think I said it in my last
Wolfpack.
History Roads. But your show is literally the highlight of my week and has gotten me through some dark points in my life last year. Love you, boys. Keep honking that horn. I also put my number here because why not? I can update you about my not nice neighbors if you want. That's okay. But thank you, Jacob.
That sucks to have not nice neighbors.
Agreed. Oh my God. Mike, should I read this email that's titled, "Hi, how I flooded my house installing Hello Tushy"?
Oh no, please. Dude, come on, man. As if we're not already pretty bad at the ad part.
Guys,
no, it
sounds like human error though. Not the fault of the company or whatever. They made a mistake.
Dude, I've two bidets in my house and there's been zero floods.
Same.
I didn't think I was going to be able to do it.
And not only that, I'm so not a plumber or handyman, and I've installed like four bidets at my one at my folks' place, one here, one at the Valley Folk office. Did I set that one up? Maybe Elliot did that one. Anyway, Janisha, bless you. Hello. Says, "Hey guys, so I work for a company. Oh, my first successful blank is my favorite blank is the name."
Nice. Love these.
"So I work for a company." There's rowdy audience. "I work for a company that travels around remodeling stores, and I recently spent a week in Georgia getting a new store ready to open. A coworker and I were setting up the cookware section when she showed me a price tag that read Saucepan Blue. I quickly exclaimed, Saucepan Blue is my favorite Neil Diamond song. She was quiet at first, but soon began to laugh uncontrollably. Hope I've made you boys proud with that joke. Thanks for brightening my days and teaching me how to make my friends laugh. That's two horn honks for you, Janisha.
One and two and that was great. That was great. Very happy and proud of you.
Sarah Best sends an email saying, you can say my last name. It's chill. She says, hello, my beautiful boys. My name is Sarah, and I and an English teacher.
Shut it down.
Is there a Yelp for teachers? If there's a Yelp for teachers, I want to find Sarah Best. Sarah is not the best.
If she's anything like any of the other teachers I know, she's home and it's nighttime and she's wasted.
I mean, here's the thing. It's just a weirdly phrased sentence. Let me read the whole sentence.
Yeah. Man, that's such a funny way to end that sentence.
Let me read the whole sentence.
Yes.
My name is Sarah and an English teacher up in the Texas Panhandle.
I'm an English teacher.
My name is Sarah, and I am an English teacher up in the Texas Panhandle. Yeah, I think that's correct.
That's the one.
My name is Sarah. There's no punctuation either. If there was like...
Who are we to correct the teacher?
Here's what I would say. If there was a comma after my name is Sarah, maybe you could get away with that sentence. Because then it would be, my name is Sarah, comma, and an English teacher up in the English Panhandle.
That's not a sentence.
Yeah, it might not be.
No, not a complete one.
This might be random.
She's off the clock, though.
She's off the clock. Give her a break. Yeah, yeah. Maybe she gets a little thrill from sending an incorrect grammar.
It's like, hey, I'm an English teacher from 9 to 5.
Listen, nobody corrects my paperwork.
When that bell rings, I'm not an English teacher anymore.
Yeah, yeah. This might be random, but I've been going back and listening to earlier episodes of the podcasts since I started listening to it in 2016. Anyway, y'all have a few episodes where you mention you tormenting your teachers every year. I just wanted to let y'all know, every time one of my knuckleheads chooses to act... Whoa, 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 whoa. Here's some more incorrect shit going on here. Here's the sentence. Here's the
this
sentence.
This is what happens when those kids never grow up.
Here's the sentence. I just wanted to let y'all know, comma, every time is one word, which shouldn't be. Every time one of my knuckleheads is also one word, choose to act up, comma, I take a step back and hope. Wait. Was that the sentence?
Step back and hope. Anyway, thank you for the memories.
Yeah. Okay, wait, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I read it wrong. I just wanted to let y'all know, comma, every time one of my knuckleheads choose to act up, I take a step back and hope that one day they can amount to something like y'all two did.
See, that's kind of nice.
It reminds me that not every kid is the same. And some need to be the class clown in order to thrive.
Yes.
Thanks for the reminder and the laughs, even if they cause intense headaches sometimes. Give Zoya and Alana my love as well. Sarah Best. Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, thank you for that. Also, those kids just need attention for whatever reason.
Yeah. And you also, know? Let me apologize, Sarah, for saying you fucked up again. But certainly that first sentence is a real train wreck.
But you know that.
But you know that. okay, one more and then we'll say goodbye. Lucy Jean says a glasses on. A glasses on, glasses off history road. Hello, beautiful boys, Mike and Steve. I hope you both are well. My name is Lucy, and I'm a two-horn honk artist and prop maker from England. And this is my Leal History Road. Oh, top of the morning to ya.
Was I the only one expecting another two that were a lower register of horns? Yeah, yep. Thank you for satisfying.
Before the days of Rona, I would display and sell my artwork at fairs around the country. This would involve people taking a closer look at my work. Many of those people would be wearing glasses. Okay. Oh, I got it. They were wearing glasses that they would take off to look at my work. Then put them back on to talk to me, then take them back off to look at my work again. A totally normal thing. Glasses up! A totally normal thing, but after hearing you boys, all I hear in my head is you two slurring and yelling, glasses off, glasses on, glasses off, and now my glasses are on, drunk Dean Martin style. On one occasion, a spectacle-wearing gentleman must have taken his glasses off and on about 9 times, and I nearly lost my mind. I held in the biggest laugh and just had to stand there with a weird smile on my face like a crazy person while trying to answer his questions about my work without losing it. I can't wait to get back to exhibiting art at fairs and for this DB bit to come to life once again. I have followed and enjoyed everything you sweet boys have been doing for many years. Thank you for making me laugh and smile on good and bad days. I'm so grateful for this bonkers, too loud, too much water, bye-bye out podcast. If you want to have a nosy at my artwork, here's a link to my Instagram. No worries if not. Thank you for reading my history road. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you both. Stay safe and well. Lucy. I'll check out your Instagram, and I'll send it to Mike.
Very nice.
Thank you. Critique your art with our glasses off.
Glasses off. First of all, me and Frankie Sinatra and our boy Sammy over there in the glasses on. You know who I'm talking about. Off.
if you want to see her art, I'll give her a plug. It's at name and color. And color is spelled in the wrong UK way, which is C-O-L-O-U.
I like it. I like it too. It's fancy. In it because it's not ours, but. Yeah, I like it. What is it? Name and color.
Name and color. I think it's kind of fancy when you put the O-U-R in there.
This better not suck, Lucy.
It's pretty cool. It's paper cut kinetic art. It's pretty rad.
Oh, you're so lucky it doesn't suck, Lucy.
I know. It's rad.
Making birds out of paper? What the
fuck? I'd take my glasses off for that.
And off again.
And I'll put them back on.
Putting them on?
I'd put them on. I'd put them on for those... paintings.
Your next guest putting them on.
This next glasses on. She yells it out loud. Guys, thank you for listening to the show. I have a great time with my friend Mike.
Yes.
And I love your guys' history roads. Adds a nice community element to the show that I very much cherish and love. I appreciate you all. Sorry if we don't read yours. There will be a time where we might get to them all. There will be a time where we might not. And I think that the sooner that you take comfort in that and take it in and let it hit your bloodstream, I think the happier you'll be.
I think that covers all possible outcomes for any situation we get in from here on out. I can't wait until we're in the goddamn movies.
Yeah, dude. Wait, it's got to happen.
It has to happen.
Mike, you got anything to plug?
I put out another Mike in the Morning that I had a lot of fun making. So episode 3. I think I'm doing 6. I have a TikTok. I'd like to plug my TikTok. Yeah, I think it's Mike Falzone Comedy because... got the first one and forgot my password. And so outdoor shows are kind of popping up here and there.
Hell yeah.
And I'm just so happy that it seems like the tide is starting to change.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are getting chipped up and more people are getting treated and everything's on the downward whatever. So I hope it stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for saying it was just the flu when it started. And is that everything?
Yeah, that should cover it.
That's pretty much everything.
Really quickly, once again, shout out to Let's Get Haunted for having Mike and I on their show. Check them out on iTunes and all that good stuff. And every Wednesday, the Valley Folk does a show on twitch.tv/thevalleyfolk called Jackbox and Chill. We play Jackbox games with friends, and one day we'll have Mike on if you will have us.
That game you were talking about, the
TED Talk one?
Yeah, that seems funny.
It's ridiculous. And when we're able to be in the same room again, we'll have to play that off stream and have some very fun times. So I look forward to that. But yeah, if you want to join us, and I've been giving away digital copies of the Resident Evil movies.
How do you do?
Well, okay. I have, Mike, I'm glad you mentioned, how do you do that? I was given a Resident Evil set of Blu-rays, and it came with digital copies of all the movies, and there's 6 Resident Evil movies. And I've given away
one out right now.
No, I've only got 2 left.
Whoever gets it first.
I've only got 2 left. These are precious. I've given away 4, okay. But my plan, Mike, is to hit up Sony for more codes and just give away Resident Evil movies like forever.
Yeah, that's nice.
And just
that's
have codes for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good thing to have attached to.
I think so too. So
you're that guy.
The next time I get a bunch, I will totally give away one as a be nice or not be nice on Dynamic Banter. I think that would be great. But anyway, if you want to win one of the final 2 Resident Evil movies in my current batch, then definitely join us Wednesdays at twitch.tv/thevalleyfolk for that show. And that's it. We love you guys. I hope you have a great time, Mike, and I hope the rest of your day is lovely and yours as well. Okay? Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Goodbye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.